Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
2 Chronicles chapter number 7, 2 Chronicles chapter number 7, and I want to look at verse number 14. For just a minute now, I'm not going to take a lot of time to deal with the context of all of this and what's happening here in 2 Chronicles, the finishing of the house of the Lord in verse 11 and all that. I really just want to center in on this and look at a little thought out of verse 14. The Bible said, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land." There is an if and there is a then. There is a choice and there is a consequence. I want to preach to you on this thought for just a little while this morning with the help of the Lord. Accepting the challenge from God. God in verse number 14 lays out a challenge for us. And it's up to us to accept this challenge this morning that God has given us. Father, I love you today, and I pray, God, that you'd help us for just a little while. I pray, God, that your will and way would be done. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bring back to our mind and remembrance the things, Lord, that we've studied this week, God. I pray, Lord, that every word that is uttered out of my mouth, God, would bring glory and honor to your name, God. I pray, Lord, if there'd be one here lost, God, Father, that you'd please save them today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Again, I want to look into this verse and break it down a little bit this morning and preach to you on this thought, the challenge or accepting the challenge from God, accepting the challenge from God. Here, there is an if and there is a then. There is a choice that must be made, and there is a consequence that follows that choice. You know, with every choice in our life that we make, there is a consequence that follows that choice. Whether it's good or whether it's bad, there is always a choice and a consequence. I began to think about this verse, and one writer broke this verse down like this. He said, there is the attitude in the approach, shall humble themselves. There's the about face in the activity, they turn from their wicked ways. There's the audience in the appeal, then will I hear from heaven. Then will I hear from heaven. And can I say this to you? I'm interested in that audience right there this morning. I'm interested in hearing from heaven. And then he goes on to say this, there's the element in the alleviation. He said, then we'll heal their land. I began to think about that this morning, and I want to say something to you today. I absolutely love America today. I love the place that I live. I love America. I love small town America. I love Surrey County. But I'm going to tell you something. I do not love what America has become in recent days. It's become a time that we laugh in the face of God and mock the face of God. It's become a time, now I hope you'll stay with me this morning, but it's become a time where we have took what God gave us as a sign of peace and a sign of him never judging our world by water, and that was a rainbow that God placed in the sky. We have taken God's sign of peace and turned it into such a mess today in our society and what our world wants to say that it represents today. Our country has become a country that does not fear God anymore. It's become a country that again laughs in the face of God and mocks in the and the fear of God. And I want to say this to you today. Where did all of that start at? I really believe that it all started in the four walls of a church and us dropping our standards, us dropping our beliefs, us dropping our fear of the Lord, and it trickled out of the church. One writer said this, and I'll deal with this next week in the marriage retreat. retreat, but so goes the home, so goes the church, so goes the church, so goes the country. Boy, that's the truth today. A lot of times our churches are nothing more than entertainment centers. Our churches are not called sanctuaries anymore. They're called auditoriums, and I'm the world's worst to even say that, but an auditorium is a place where you go to see a show and a play. Yeah, this is a sanctuary, man. It's a place. It's a platform. It's not a stage. It's a place where we come together. Well, it's getting tight this morning, but I think I'll just go ahead and preach a little while. It's become a place where we go to that's become nothing more than a social club anymore. And I want to say something to you today. God extends a challenge to us today to humble ourselves in His face and in His fear of Him and turn from our wicked ways. Let me show you two or three things this morning. Number one, this challenge that God gives us. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm always up for a good challenge. Are you? I'm always up for a good challenge. I look at this. Number one, it's a challenge to be dependent. It's a challenge to be, watch this, dependent. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, humble themselves and pray. In the context, Israel has come to a place where they admitted that they could not help themselves out of their problems. They were challenged to admit their total dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a challenge to be dependent. You say dependent on what? It is a challenge to be dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. When we humble ourselves, when we humble ourselves, we are saying we cannot do this on our own. I looked that word humble up in 1828, and here's what it means. Having a low opinion of oneself, a deep sense of unworthiness in the sight of God. When we look at God and we look at the holiness of God, when we look at God in the majesty of God, when we look at the greatness of God, and we look at the grace of God, you know what it should do to you and I today? It should cause us to humble ourselves before Him. God does not owe us anything today. God did not have to save us today. God could have let every one of us die and go to hell, and He would have been justified in doing that. But God chose to love us. God chose to care about us. God chose to send His Son to die for our sins. And when we look at the greatness and the grace of a holy God, it should cause us to humble ourselves in His sight. To humble ourselves. I thought about that. I thought about this. This challenge that we face today is a challenge of swallowing our pride. It's a challenge of becoming dependent upon someone else. I am not a dependent person. I am a very independent person. You say, what do you mean, preacher? I don't like to depend on nobody for nothing. I like to do it myself. I remember whenever I was growing up, my dad, he still does this part of the time, my dad changed his own oil, changed his own spark plugs. Some of y'all ain't even got a clue what that is. His distributor cap and rotary button and plug wires. Somebody say amen right there. And he could bump that timing just a little bit to make it run a little bit better. Somebody say amen right there. And he didn't. He was independent. And still today, I'll call him, Daddy, what are you doing? I'm changing oil in my truck. Daddy, they'll change it probably cheaper than you can buy it now. I'm going to change it myself. I know it'll be done right. He's independent. And that was bred into me. I don't want to have to depend on nobody for nothing. That's one reason whenever I was young, Daddy made me start work. I remember when I was old enough, now he'll deny every bit of this, but when I was old enough to pick up a bale of hay, he put me in the field with Rodney Folk picking up hay. And I was allergic to it. But Daddy didn't care. Go to the doctor, get you some medicine. He taught me to take care of myself. I remember when I was 16, he made me go get a job. Are you with me? He made me go get a regular job. We poured concrete and everything else. I remember one time, one of the worst fussings I ever got was from a man named Henry York, and he was down in a manhole at Turner's Creek, and we was pouring concrete, and I wasn't even hardly old enough to hold the sled, Brother Lloyd, on the back of that concrete truck, and it come out of my hand. I don't know if you remember this or not, but it went over to that manhole, and old Henry was down in that manhole, and that concrete, oh, it was bad. He needed to go to the altar whenever he got done, but anyway, we are dependent in nature, most people, especially men, we're dependent. We're independent. We don't want to rely on nobody else. But I'm going to tell you something. He gives us a challenge right here in 2 Chronicles. He says that we humble ourselves, that we bow ourselves before God, and we become dependent on Him. I thought about this. If we want the Lord's power on our lives and on our church, then we've got to come to the place where we readily admit that our rituals, our abilities, our organizations, our feeble attempts at worship, and on I could go, will never get the job done to glorify God. What did he say in John 15? He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Ye can do nothing. You know, there is actually times in our lives where we think that we can do it within ourselves. There's actually preachers today, and I'm going to say this. I'm going to back up and restate that statement. There is motivational speakers that read the Bible today, and they can stir an emotion. They can stir an emotion. You say, well, praise God, that's a Holy Ghost. I disagree with you. Just because I get cold chills don't mean it's a Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Amen. Back when I was a teenager, we used to sit on the tailgate of the truck in front of the bank in Yadkinville at the Yadkin Plaza. We used to cruise. They said you can't do that no more, but we used to cruise, Brother Stan. And Mom and Daddy needs to plug their ears right here. But I'd give me a good wad of Red Man Golden Blend. Somebody say amen for Red Man Golden Blend. You say, is it a sin to smoke? Absolutely. Anything tastes that good, you roll it up and set it on fire. Something's wrong with you. I'd give me a wad of that Red Man Golden Blend, and the Kentucky Headhunters would come on singing, let's all go down to Dumas Walker's. And buddy, I had cold chills from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, but I don't know it was of the Lord. Daddy said it wasn't. Now, if he was sitting there in a 62 Ford with a pale male and Johnny Cash come on singing Burning Ring of Fire, he'd have said it was. Lord, we done went to rambling, hadn't we, Brother Mark? But anyway, just because an emotion comes over you does not mean it's of God. And we have come to a place today in our churches where we think that we can drum it up. Man, it's not about that. It's about humbling ourselves and being dependent on the Lord. We've got to have Him. We've got to have God. We've got to have the touch of God. We've got to have the power of God. We've got to have the anointing of God. Without Him, we will fail. And we'll fail miserably. It is a challenge today. It is a challenge of dependence that we humble ourselves and we become dependent upon Him. When we humble ourselves before Him, we are admitting that we have no faith in our abilities, that it's all an inability, and we're putting our trust in Him. I read this the other day. It said Harry Morehouse was a British evangelist. While he was still a young man, was conducting an evangelistic service in a certain city in the U.S., but there was no revival in this particular city. It was as though he were beating against a stone wall. Day and night he was on his knees searching his heart and crying out, oh God, why is there no revival? One day he was walking along the street and the Holy Spirit showed him a large placard on which appeared these words, "Harry Morehouse, the most famous of all British preachers." At once he said to himself, "This is why there is no revival." He went to the campaign committee and said, "Brethren, now I know why there's no revival. See how you have advertised me as the greatest of this and the greatest of that. No wonder the Holy Spirit will not work. He is grieved and quenched because you haven't magnified the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the wonderful one. I'm just a poor, simple, humble servant preaching the glorious gospel and saying, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." They took the sign away and began magnifying God. And guess what happened? Revival came to that city. Why? Because they humbled themselves. When we humble ourselves, we're becoming dependent on someone else. We're becoming dependent upon Him. Number one, I see it's a challenge to be dependent. Number two, it's a challenge to be devoted. And can I say this to you? The reason so many people are lost today is because they won't accept that challenge to be dependent upon the Lord. They think it's in something they can do. I'll never work my way into heaven. I'll never preach my way into heaven. I'm telling you, it's all in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. Amen. Lest any man should... It's all in Him. And it's humbling ourselves in His word. Number one, it's a challenge to be dependent. Number two, it's a challenge to be devoted. To be devoted. What did He say? He said, "Seek my face." This expression is translated from the words which mean to seek, to find, to seek, to require, to desire, to request, and to seek with care, inquire, to frequent a place, tread a place, to seek deity in prayer and in worship. These words imply, listen to this, a yearning, a frequency of inquiry, a desire to enter into the presence of someone else. You know what He's saying to us? He's saying this. We not only have to humble ourselves before the Lord, but we have to be hungry for the Lord. It is a challenge to be devoted, a yearning, a frequency of inquiry, a desire to enter into the presence of someone else. You know what He's saying? He's saying this, that we humble ourselves. But after we humble ourselves, we become devoted and we begin to hunger for the Lord. If you've ever been in the presence of God, you'll never be satisfied until you're in His presence again. As preachers this morning, I know there's a few of us here, but if you've ever preached with the anointing of God on your life, you'll never be satisfied until that anointing is there again. I say it as a teacher, if you've ever taught with the anointing of Christ on your life, and while you was teaching, you knew, hey, you started saying things you didn't even know that you knew, and quoting verses that you didn't even know that you could quote. You know what it is, Brother Stan? It is the anointing of God on our life. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, if you ever get under the spout where the glory runs out and you ever get in the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, you'll never be satisfied. There'll be a hunger. There'll be a drive that pushes you, a devotion to Him. I thought about this. I was studying one time. I was talking to young people about the dangers of drug addiction, and I was studying, Brother Brian, I know I've used this illustration here before, but it says in your mind there's like a little cup of dopamine. And they say, especially with cocaine, whenever you take it for the first time, that dopamine is what makes you laugh. what happened a while ago when y'all got a thinking about Brother Allen and Miss Jan and that 62 Ford listening to Johnny Cash smoking Pall Malls. There's a little dopamine spilt out in your mind and you laugh. That's what causes that to happen. And they say whenever you take cocaine for the first time, they say, Brother Brian, it's like that little cup of dopamine gets turned over. Every bit of it at one time gets dumped out in your mind. And that's the reason it's an immediate addiction to that. And that's the reason so many people, the rest of their life, they end up dying trying to find that first high again. But they'll never find it again because all of it's already been dumped out. Can I say something to you today? Whenever you get around God and that Holy Ghost gets dumped out in your mind a little bit, it will drive you to seek that and to go after that. Man, I don't want to walk without the Lord. I don't want to preach without the Lord. I don't want to live my life without the anointing of God on it. Man, it should drive us to be devoted to seeking the face of God, seeking Him. He challenges us this morning to seek Him. Listen to what a couple of the famous believers had to say about this matter. Paul said that I may know Him. That I may know Him. The power of His resurrection. Now watch this. In the fellowship of His suffering. Being made conformable unto His death. Listen to what David said. One thing have I desired of the Lord. That will I seek after. That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. Listen to what he said in Psalm 17. As for me, I will behold of thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Listen to what he said in Psalms 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. For the living God, when shall I come and appear before God? You know what he was saying? He was saying this, I'm seeking You, Lord. I'm seeking You. There's a challenge to be dependent. There's a challenge to be devoted. But let me show you one more. There is a challenge to be different. There is a challenge to be different. What did he say? He said, turn from their wicked ways. There's a challenge to be different. Here, we're talking about the discipline of repentance. It is a challenge for the people of God to live clean and a holy lives for the glory of the Lord. The people of Israel are told to turn from their wicked ways. Whenever you are turning away from one thing, you are naturally turning to something else. When you turn from one thing, you turn to something else. It is a challenge to be different this morning. To be different. A lot of people says, well, I just want my kids to fit in. I want to say something. I don't want my kids to fit in. Let me tell you the reason why the Bible said for us to come out from the world and be separate. The Bible said that we're a peculiar people. It is a challenge today. And I want to say something to you. When you become dependent on Him, when you become devoted to Him, you will become different. You will. Yeah, man. You will become different. You say, well, preacher, are you saying that all the women has to wear their hair up in a bun and wear a dress to the ground and a turtleneck and never put any makeup on? Please don't come back without makeup tonight. No, that's not what I'm saying. How many times have you been at the mall and somebody walked by you and you just went, there was something different about them. Now, they something, Brother Will, I go, huh? There was something different about them. You hear me? But they say, your spirit will bear witness. Well, there's something different. There is a challenge today, church, that we turn from our wicked ways and we turn to Him. The reason, come start playing softly if you don't mind, sis, the reason that many will never be saved is because they never get past the dependent part. They never get to that place where they humble themselves in the presence of God and realize that nothing within yourself will ever save you. No good work that you could ever do will ever get you to heaven. It will take you humbling yourself before God and realizing He's already paid the price. Our sin debt has already been paid. It's us humbling ourselves before Him. God gives us a challenge today. He gives us a challenge today. I remember early 2016. I remember closing 2015. Closing 2015. Man, we had started having some good services and God was meeting with us and was fasting and praying, in which we still try our best to do that now. The new year's coming up and we always challenge each other going into the new year with a Daniel fast for 21 days. But I remember we had got real hungry in 2015. You remember the beginning of 2016? Brother Jeremy and Daddy and Brother Brian and Brother John Dorsey came and we had a little camp meeting, a little New Year's Jubilee for a couple nights that ended up turning into a 2-week meeting with 9 saved. And I don't know if you'll remember, at that time those walls were still up. We had chairs sitting everywhere. We had took the old pews. We still had the old pews back in one of the Sunday school classes. We had took them and we had set them up here. We had packed over 500 in here in those night services. They were sitting in Sunday school classes with the doors open and listening. Let me tell you what drove all of that. Somebody got hungry. Somebody got hungry. You remember right after that, man, that just continued to spiral in those churches that was here. We went into youth camp in 2016. Before youth camp that Saturday night, there was almost 100 of us met and prayed all over the grounds at Northwood and begged God to send revival to the Foothills churches. And rolling into that first night, man, it was just off the hook in that first night service. 5 weeks later, we stopped. Over 200 was saved. I can't remember how many was called to preach. The books back there that we wrote on it. If you've never got one of those books, you let me know. It's an awesome book to read, dealing with that revival. Let me tell you what had happened. We had come to a place where we had become dependent upon the Lord. See, a lot of times we get to this place where we think we've got it figured out. We think we've got it figured out. Are you hearing the preacher this morning? If Brother Matt will sing this song, or if he'll let this person sing at this time, if the preacher will say this just right, we think we've got it all figured out. Brother David and I was talking this morning, Brother David Williams, one of my closest friends, and I wish you'd pray for him. He's going through some things. The Lord knows what it is, but I was talking to him early this morning, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I walked into the auditorium a while ago, and they have just beautiful facilities at the church that he's taken, and it's fell off to about nothing. But man, God's going to pack that place. It's beautiful, beautiful, isn't it, Miss Leslie? Beautiful fellowship hall, nice facility." He said, "I walked into that big auditorium this morning." And he said, just stepping through the doors, he said, it's like all of a sudden there was an excitement that overtook everything that I've had to go through this week. He said, just to be in the house of God, he said, I was just so excited. I told him, I said, and I say this in open repentance to everybody. I said, Brother David, I said, whenever you said that, I waited a while before I responded back and had to talk to the Lord a little bit and get my heart right. I said, Brother David, I said, whenever you said that, it put me under conviction. I remember 15 years ago, you'd walk through that side door walk through the back door on early Sunday mornings. I drive up here. I was staying at Mom and Daddy's cabin that first 6 months on the weekends because we lived so far away, we'd come up here and stay. And I'd walk through, and man, there'd just be that excitement about getting in the Lord's house. I told Brother David, I said, it seems like anymore when I walk into the church, you think about this one that's going through this and the problem that they have and this one that's going through this and this one that's going through that. And boy, I wish I could figure out how to solve this for this person and solve that for that person. Brother Randy, it was just a message to me that we've got to come to a place where we get back to being dependent upon Him. That we humble ourselves before Him. That we humble ourselves before Him. That we become devoted to seeking His face. That we become devoted to that. We become devoted to that. And let me tell you what it'll do. It'll produce a difference in our life. How hungry are you for God this morning? How hungry are we for Him? Oh, we've got this plan and that planned, and looking at, you know, December here in just a few weeks on a Friday night, I'll meet with the deacons and lay out a 5-year plan on what I'd love to see us accomplish over the next 5 years. And in that 5-year plan is a sanctuary and a fellowship hall, and we'll look at all the finances and look at all the business side of things. You know what? Sometimes, Brother Randy, we might just need to throw all that to the side and just find ourselves back before a holy God. Brother Robert, when we had less than $1,000 in the bank and we didn't know how we was going to pay the bills, and we had come up here on Saturday nights for hours laying an altar and beg God to send people to our church and beg God to put people in Sunday school classes, Miss Rhonda. Here we are now and we're full. And if we're not careful, church, we'll become independent instead of dependent upon Him. If my people, if that's the choice, my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then there's the consequence. Will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land.